ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti. The verse today is number 31. Gopi, the cowherd lady Yashoda, Adade, took up Twayi on your Kritagasi, creating disturbances by breaking the butter pot. Dhamma, rope. Tavat, at that time. Ya, that which. Te, your. Dasha, situation. Ashuk, Kalila, overflooded with tears. Anjana, ointment. Sambrama, perturbed. Aksham, eyes. Vaktram, face. Niniya, downwards. Bhaya bhavanaya, by thoughts of fear. Stitasya, of the situation. Sa, that. Mam, me. Vimohayati, Gopyadade Twai Kritagasi Dhammatava.
Gopyadade Twai Kritagasi Dhammatava.
Yate dashashru kalilanjana sambramaksham.
Yate dashashru kalilanjana sambramaksham.
Vaktram naniya bhaya bhavana yastitasya.
Vaktram naniya bhaya bhavana yastitasya.
Sama vimohayati bhira pihyad pipeti.
Sama vimohayati bhira pihyad pipeti.
My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of his pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only, and while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of his devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisements of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, he accepts the reproaches of his fiancées more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest his eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka, Vrindavan, as an attraction for the people in general, he displayed a unique picture of subordination before his foster mother, Yashoda. The Lord, in his naturally childish and playful activities, used to spoil the stocked butter of Mother Yashoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to his friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yashoda saw this, and out of her pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for her transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Since the rope in the hands of Mother Yashoda, seeing the rope in the hands of Mother Yashoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep, just like a child, and tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother, who wanted to punish him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not. Therefore, Yashoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yashoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yashoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord, but she was made to forget this situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affectionate Yashoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yashoda is praised for her unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. Hare gopyare re twai kritaga siddhamata vadye ya te dashashu kali lanjana sambramaksham vaktram daniya bhav bhaya bhavana yastitasya sa mam vimohayati birapi yad bibheti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Devotees have varying relationships with Krishna. Krishna explains one of the reasons why in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, "Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva pujamyaham." Those, as one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. And the different relationships by category are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasam gatanam naradaivatena mayashitanam naradarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punjaha. This verse comes up during the pastime of Krishna killing a gasura. And the Shukadev Goswami is amazed to see the relationship that the boys in Vrindavan have with Krishna, because they're playing with him every day. And they play just like little children. They climb trees. They imitate the monkeys. They play keep away from each other. They take somebody's lunch bag and then they throw it to the next person. When the boy finally starts crying, they give it back. So I'll go ahead, take it. And they imitate frogs, they yell into wells, and Krishna is imitating a child at that time. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. But there are others that are interested in only Krishna's impersonal feature. The Jiva Goswami explains in his Tattva Sandarbha that the way of understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth is Advaita Gyan Tattva. He's one, but he has various aspects. According to how much he suppresses his actual personality. So in the aspect of Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord, Yasya Prabha Prabhabhato Jagadanda Koti Koti Shvashesha Vasudhari Vibhuti Binam Tat Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Vashesha Bhutam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. It's described by Brahma in the Sri Brahma Samhita, the all-pervading effulgence of the Lord is everywhere at all times. And those who have a predilection for the Lord's impersonal feature, the Lord reveals himself in that way. But this is only an aspect of his sat feature, which means existence. And then there are those who see Krishna. Of course, the verse I was working from, Itam Satam Brahma Sukhana Bhutya, some are interested and find pleasure in the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Then there are those who worship the Lord in his feature in Vaikuntha. It means they see him as the Supreme Lord. And in Vaikuntha, there's a certain mood and also etiquette and protocol. You'll see this most in a most pronounced way when you follow Gopakumar and his path back to Godhead in the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And when he goes to Vaikuntha planet, you see, Gopakumar is a cowherd boy. He actually is in cowherd dress. And his worshipable deity is Gopal Krishna, Madan Gopal. And his mantra is meant to worship Madan Gopal. And his mantra is bringing him closer and closer to the ultimate goal, which is going back home, back to Godhead, to meet Krishna, his friend in the spiritual world. He's a friend of Krishna's. He plays with him, goes to the forest with him in the daytime. But he's been in the material world since the time immemorial, and then the mantra was revealed to him by the by the grace of the Lord, and gradually he makes his way through various parts of the universe and meets various kinds of people, some Karmakandis and some Gyanakandis. And finally, he goes to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha, I'm skipping millions of details, obviously it's a big book. But in Vaikuntha, the point is, when he sees Narayan in his four-handed form, full of all opulence, where everyone's worshiping him with Purusha Shuktam. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasra Ksa Sahasra Pat. It's very, like, kind of regal and regimented, the mantras they chant there. Whereas you'll find in Vrindavan, like if you go to Govardhan, if you go to Brijabasi's house, they have Govardhan Shila, and they have a relationship, like he's their child in the house. And they'll just take some, put a plate, and they say, eat, you eat. That's their mantra. They don't have a lot of Vedic mantras. Just like, you're going to starve. You eat now. I'm coming back in 5 minutes. So when Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha, he has such affection, a certain kind of affection for the Lord, that Narayan can't keep his four arms. And he keeps morphing into the form of Madan Gopal. And then catching himself. And also, Gopakumar can't restrain himself either, because when he sees Narayan, he's seeing Madan Gopal. And while everyone's reverentially worshiping, like if you go to Tirupati, I was there a couple of years ago, and we went in for the darshan, you have to wait, there's millions of people going in, you have to get a ticket, you go in the temple, and then they tell you, you know, don't stay long. The guards are there. They'll move you on. So I went in. I was thinking, I'll just, you know, 2 seconds, keep moving. So I go in. I offer him obeisances to Balaji. And I'm about to turn the corner, and the guard grabs me by the shoulders. And he goes, no, see God. He holds me there. He goes, see God. I said, I'm seeing him. And then a minute later, I tried to move again. He goes, no, see God. That is very reverential there, see God. But Gopal Kumar, he was like, hey, Gopal! And everyone was like, what? Don't do that here. Narada Muni pulled him aside and he said, no, you're very special. You don't understand. You're not from this place. You belong in another relationship with the Lord. You'll find that he makes his way gradually. He meets Lord Ramachandra. Then he meets, he goes to Dwarka, Mathura, and finally to Vrindavan. And from Vrindavan, he goes back to Goloka, because that's the pathway from Vrindavan back to Goloka. And so, itam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam katanam naradarakena. And then there's people, then there's the materialistic people, according to their vision. Mayashitanam naradarakena. That's the materialist. They're in Maya. So they just see Krishna as an ordinary person. And Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashutam parambhav majananto mamavyanam anutamam. That the foolish people, they just see me as an ordinary person. That's what they think. So you see, there are various forms. But then, sakam vrajaru krita punya punjaha, says Shukadeva Goswami, that these boys and these residents of Vrindavan, they're the most fortunate. And how sakam vrajaru krita punya punja, they've amassed heaps and heaps of pious activities. Means that they've been worshiping the Lord for millions of lifetimes, attained the qualification to be at his association. In fact, going back to Godhead is not so much an event as a process. As Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, when one departs from the earth, which is a good place, this is the middle of the universe. Actually, it's in a building, you find like we're on the first floor here. Are we? Is it the first floor? Okay, because someone told me I was at the library and I was on the first floor. This is a ground floor.
Basement. Depends on your...
Well, what am I on? Ground floor? Of...
Are you in India or are you in America?
Oh, my God. Okay, we're on the ground floor here. And you can just go right out the door. So similarly, this the universe has various gradations. And the Earth planet is near the door of any of them. So it's actually very beneficial to be a human, to be on the earth planet. And you'll find in the Bhagavatamrita that the gateway back to Godhead Gopal Kumar takes is from Vrindavan, doing Harinam Sankirtan in Vrindavan, then the door opens to Goloka Vrindavan. Nonetheless, as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada points out that from this position, one takes birth in the next life, those who are progressing in devotional service, in a place, on a planet, where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then one gets trained up in a particular type of service and in a particular type of mood to serve Krishna before being transferred directly back home, back to Godhead. But it's not stereotyped, because some people go in other ways. For instance, it's mentioned in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that some yogis, when they go back to Godhead, like to take the scenic route and see everything in the material world, because it's kind of spectacular. And others don't. They just go straight back. In any case, the purport today is about the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna. And as you're reading in the 10th canto, you'll notice that Mother Yashoda is exalted among all the devotees as having the deepest love for Krishna of all. Because as we know in this world, the love of a mother for the child is exemplary when it comes to selfless love. Because a mother doesn't ask anything in return and simply will sacrifice everything for the child 24/7 until the child is, what, 80 years old or something like that. It doesn't matter. And also, the mother Motherly love is so powerful. Her son may become a president. Say the president of the United States, God forbid, but say he does and then becomes a big famous person. And it's not like when he comes home, the mother's going to say, "Oh, Mr. President." I mean, she may say it jokingly, but she doesn't really mean it. It's just her little son, Sammy, coming home. And you know, you need a sandwich or you're going to starve. And that's her mood. And that's barely ever suppressed. And that's the most exalted of situations in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is attracted to that a very unceremonious love that his devotees in Vrindavan have. And those devotees in Vrindavan who have unceremonious love are called Ragatmika Bhaktas. Their love is spontaneous. They're not following any protocol at all. They're only thinking of Krishna as the most dear object of their affection, 24 hours a day, and running with him, playing with him. The parents are bathing him, dressing him. The lovers are meeting him in the forest, and so forth. And Goloka Vrindavan, in that town, it appears like a little village, although as it's mentioned in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the one Vaikuntha planet is bigger than the whole material world put together, and all the Vaikuntha planets put together can't equal Goloka Vrindavan, which is always expanding. However, it appears like a little village, because out of this intimacy of love, that place seems like very small and not grandiose like Vaikuntha, but it's sweet. It has the features of beautiful lakes and streams and cows. Of course, just underneath is all the opulence, but it's suppressed. It's suppressed because of the intense love of the devotees for Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to teach two things. One was Ragatmika Bhakti, as you'll read in the Adi Lila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speaking in the voice, or Kaviraj Goswami rather, in the voice of Krishna, says that I'm weary and wearied by the kind of love that's offered to me in Vaikuntha. Everybody knows about the grand nature of God and his worship, but nobody knows this intimate type of love that takes place in Vrindavan. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I want to broadcast it everywhere. And anarpita charim chirat karanavir anarpita charim chirat karanavir tirna kalo samarpayitam unuto jwalarasam sabhakti shriyam. This is the statement in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Lord's purpose in coming was to reveal this very intimate kind of love that takes place between Krishna and his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. He thinks, anarpita charim chirat. For a long time, I've never revealed this to the world. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first intention to let everybody know not only about the nature of the Ragatmika Bhaktas in Vrindavan, but also the process by which one could also become Ragatmika Bhakti, which is known as Raganuga Bhakti. And then the second thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach was Prema Bhakti, or the Prema Ras. Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesatanya Taddhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavaduva Dhena Volkilpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam. Prema Pumarto Mahan. See, this is from the Chaitanya Manjusha, which says that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had these goals in coming. First of all, to teach that Lord Krishna and his dham are non-different, the same. And the second one is that the highest method of worshipping the Lord was that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is synonymous with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, Vikriditam vrajabu dubiraham cha vishnur shradhan vitona shinu yadat avarna yedya bhaktim param bhagavati prati labhya kamu hrid rogam ashva pahinot yacharin adhira. And that is that by hearing about the playful pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan, then one naturally is able to overcome the dread disease of the heart, lust. It becomes transformed into a love, because actually the love that we have for Krishna becomes tainted when we come to the material world. It becomes a cause of distress and difficulty for us. And so the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then goes on. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Abalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the most revered of all books. It's the spotless Purana. And finally, Prema Pumarto Mahan. And that the ultimate goal of life is Prema, which is described by all our acharyas in the various stages that one will traverse in order to reach this stage of Prema. And this Prema Ras and the practice of Raganuga Bhakti are the mainstay of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and goals. Now, sometimes people criticize ISKCON and they say, well, actually, in ISKCON, you're just practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. But this is a mistake, because actually what we're following is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through his principal disciples, the Goswamis. All the activities that we perform throughout the day are following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is teaching the Bhagavat Marg, or the process through which one can come to the stage of Prema, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The idea of Vaidhi Bhakti means that there are ways in which in the beginning stages of the practice of devotional service, before one actually has awakened spontaneous love, one needs some support for one's practice. And therefore, the Goswamis of Vrindavan set the example, as mentioned by Srinivasa Acharya in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nanti Bi Kalava Sani Kritao. And that is that they were very careful to count how many times they chanted, how many times they bowed down, and all the different devotional practices that they were engaged in. And we're doing the same thing, right? Say yes.
Yes.
You got counter beads on your bead bag, I hope, right? Yes, because we're counting. So this kind of Vaidhi Bhakti is a part, actually, of Raganuga Bhakti, which is called Ajata Ruchi Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which means before you even have taste, the kind of taste that is indicative of spontaneous love for Krishna, you're still following in the footsteps of the acharyas and practicing what we practice, like we sing this Tulsi song. If you actually look at the translation, which is a good idea, by the way, in the morning program, it's a good idea to actually know what you're saying, because, you know, people sometimes they learn the prayers, like the Guruvashtakam prayers. We sing the prayers to the spiritual master in the morning, starting with Samsara Dhavanada Lila Loka. And you know, you could just listen to it and not actually know what it is, right? Possible? And yet, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadam room. You could be saying anything and not actually know what it is that you're saying. And these Tulsi prayers, they're very esoteric. Do you all know what the prayers are? What is the prayer? I'm not reciting it, just what is the essence of it, asking, what is it?
To
have adhikar, you know, to actually follow in the footsteps of the gopis. You please give me this ragatmika type of bhakti. We're asking for that. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't let his disciples sing that song. He was more strict than our Prabhupada. They sang, there's another Tulsi song, which is more about the plant than the goddess. And they would sing that in the Gaudiya Math. And so we are following that process.
But you have to, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, follow the simple path very strictly. And Rupa Goswami says that this is the essence of all advice. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananu ragi jananugami kalam nayet akilam itupadesha sarum. From the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami says the essence of all advice, upadesha sarum, the cream of the advice that he's giving, is that one should engage oneself in all these practices that we do in ISKCON 24 hours a day. And by doing that, one gradually will develop a particular kind of taste for service. You'll become attracted to the service of a particular devotee in Vrindavan who's performing ragatmika bhakti. And then one will be able to follow in the footsteps of that devotee, especially by hearing about him or her. And of course, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out in his teachings on Raganuga Bhakti, it doesn't mean that our external practice changes. It stays the same, strictly following various shastric rules and regulations. Internally, the practice goes on, and one develops an aspiration for a resident of Vrindavan. Tandama rupa charitari sukirtana smrityo kramena. It starts by hearing, and then kramena, step by step, manasi niyoja, the mind becomes engaged. Tishtan vraje, then one becomes situated in Vrindavan. Tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami. One becomes a follower of one of the ragatmika bhaktas in Vrindavan through that process of hearing extensively about them. But that begins with, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out in his purport, extensive hearing. And not specified hearing, but hearing everything, especially starting from Bhagavad Gita, the first nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then progressing through those categories to the 10th canto and so on. Only until one's past the stage of anartha nivritti, that means there's no more attraction at all to the material world. Is there any hope or a reasonable idea that there will be a spontaneous attraction for following in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. So anyway, I'll just take some questions and reflections. Yes. I'm going to repeat what you say because there's people online that won't be able to hear, so please don't mind. Okay. So we're here in Brooklyn, if I'm not incorrect. And can we make our base Vrindavan and actually live there? Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it's not so much about living physically in Vrindavan, but it's about living there within your heart and mind. When you develop an attraction for Vrindavan by service and by hearing, then you can live there all the time in your mind. Of course, it's also recommended that one visit the Dham, one live in the Dham. In fact, one of the five most important or impotent practices of devotional service is to live in the holy Dham. But in several places, including the one I just mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this means in the heart and mind, one dwells there all the time. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you'll find in the 11th canto his commentary from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he's describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Deyam Sada Paribhava Gnama Bhishta Doham Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi Nutam Sharanyam. He's talking about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet are the object of worship, and one can meditate on them constantly for success in devotional service. Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi means that his lotus feet are the sum total of all the holy places put together. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in his purport that if in this particular age one's not able to go to the Dham, by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, then and one's not bereft of the association of the Dham. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Two more minutes. Question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. You mentioned the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anartita, Chalu, and the other one was the second one was.
I think I only mentioned one from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anarpita charim chirat karanevati.
One or two after that.
Okay. Maybe it's from the Bhagavatam. Vikriditam, 10th canto.
It has the word Vrajavadu.
Vrajavadu vargina vokopita.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Thanks for bringing it up. Anything else? Yes.
So how do we differentiate between vanity and anger?
How do we differentiate what?
Between vanity and anger.
Vaidhi bhakti and Raghunuga bhakti? Well, in the stage of vaidhi bhakti, actually there are two descriptions. One is that until one comes to the stage of asakti, or attachment to the Lord, then that's when the real sense of Raghunuga awakens. But then there's the practice of Raghunuga before one actually has that taste. And it is, as I described, because we're actually following the processes that are recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Bhagavat Marg, that is the path of Raghunuga. You can observe from the practice itself. Also, just a very important addition to the topic is that we worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, we accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru. And as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, yata yata gora padaravinde, he points out that as one worships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the more one worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more love for Radha and Krishna and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna awaken within one's heart. Also, in the Navadit Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by Dasya Ras, or serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, especially by helping to spread the Sankirtan movement, then one naturally develops this spontaneous love for Krishna, because he is Radha Krishna combined. Furthermore, as you all well know, in the song Gaurangera Dyuti Pada, Narottam Das Thakur says, when you dive into the ocean of the Sankirtan movement, then you come out on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and entering in his Sankirtan movement really is the Rag Marg. In fact, you'll find that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his emblem, which is the logo for the Gaudiya Math, he put an imprint of the printing press, and above it, above the printing press, which means book distribution, he put Rag Marg. Means entering within the Sankirtan movement. This is following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Vande Maha Purushate Charanaravindam. By that, one actually enters deeply within the Rag Marg. You can't otherwise, because the more you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more you're entering into Vrindavan and serving Radha Krishna. The more you go into Radha Krishna's pastimes, the deeper you go, then you'll find Lord Chaitanya. And when you go into Lord Chaitanya's pastimes deeply enough, you'll find Radha Krishna, because they're interchangeable. Yes, Prabhu.
Do you recall there's a verse that Bhaktisiddhanta composed, Pujalo Raga Vishaya Rangi. It's somewhat in my mind, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Srila Sridhar Maharaj has it emblazoned on his samadhi, I believe. Yes, by keeping, it says by keeping the pastimes of the Lord, the intimate pastimes of Vrindavan above one's head. In other words, we keep it as a sacred thing, high above our heads, that we're worshiping. Not that we think, oh, I'll grab it, bring it down to my level. We always keep it in that spirit that I can't touch it. I'm down here, it's up there. And that's the mood in which we were encouraged, are encouraged by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and by Srila Prabhupada to approach the matter in all these teachings, and not that one prematurely declares oneself to be spontaneous in loving service of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, even if one was developing, or as one develops, that spontaneous attraction within one's heart, the external practice remains the same, very strict, serious, and sincere. So really, what is the symptom of somebody who's actually engaged in this spontaneous devotion? You can't tell externally. You need verifiable symptoms, don't you? Because, I mean, I could say, you know, half an hour ago, you missed it. I was in here dancing with Krishna, and you're not going to be able to prove me otherwise. And anybody can say that. I see Krishna directly. Prove me wrong. Therefore, the Bhagavatam doesn't give such symptoms as the verifiable proof that somebody is on the highest platform. In fact, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, what is the verse? That's a good one, but that's not it. I'm thinking of the one that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received from his guru right after his initiation. Evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya jatanu rago jita chuta ucher hasatyato rotiti rauti gayati unmarvam rittiti lokabhayaha. This verse, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation and he became like a madman, he came back to his guru and he said, did you give me the right mantra? Because it drove me crazy. What happened? And then he said, very good, very good, said his guru. And he gave him this other mantra. He said, this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the teachings. Evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta uchara. That is, when you take the vow to chant Hare Krishna, then gradually your heart will melt. Druta chitta, your heart becomes druta, melted. And then you start to exhibit these symptoms of not caring for social convention. Of course, some people just don't care anyway. Doesn't need any kind of melted heart. They were just born like that. But actually, this is the description of somebody who's highly advanced. As they'll laugh, sing, cry, because they're actually, although they're here in a material body, they're interacting with Krishna in various relationships. And they're sometimes laughing because Krishna's making them laugh, and sometimes Krishna then disappears and they start to cry, and so forth. However, in the commentary, you'll notice that the acharyas say that some people show these symptoms externally, but others don't. Prabhupada didn't show symptoms. He suppressed them mightily. Only a couple times did he show himself to be stunned by singing Jai Radha Madhava. Some devotees, you know, looked through the keyhole and saw Prabhupada in ecstasy in various ways. However, acharyas headed by Madhvacharya say there's two symptoms that are always there in somebody who's highly advanced internally. And here's how you know. One is his or her steadiness. You can't fake steadiness. There's a lot of other stuff you can fake, but that's not one of them. You're either steady or you're not. You either show up or you don't show up. And people who always show up, they're always there, they're always, no matter what it is, they're always doing their service. That is a symptom of a deeply advanced level of devotional service within the heart. And the other symptom is called a mukhya prasada, which means that whatever comes from the mouth of such a person is for the benefit of others. Doesn't mean he doesn't or she doesn't chastise, but there's a different quality to the voice because Nindari shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. As Rupa Goswami gives his definition of the various levels of devotees, in the Nectar of Instruction, he says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa adriyeta dikshasti chet pranati bhishcha bhajantam isham. Shushushaya bhajanam vignam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. He tells the lower, the first level of devotee is the one who just says Hare Krishna. Say Hare Krishna. Second level is somebody who's taken diksha, initiation, seriously practicing. And the third level is someone who's actually become successful in the practice. And what is the symptom? Nindari shunya. He's or she is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. No more envy in the heart. And so Madhvacharya says that therefore when somebody who has that quality speaks, the quality of the voice is different. As Prithu Maharaj points out in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when a pure devotee, someone with that quality speaks, the voice, the sound vibration touches Krishna's lotus feet. And did you know on Krishna's lotus feet there are saffron particles? So the voice mixes with those particles. And now the vibration, when it comes into our ears, it's mixed with saffron mercy particles, SMP. And so the quality is different. That's why it's mentioned in the Shastra, avaishnavam mukungirnam shrutam harikatam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochista yatapaya. Sanatana Goswami says, don't listen to people, even if they're reciting Bhagavat, if they're not pure, if they're following some materialistic path, because that vibration will contaminate you just by hearing it. So we've talked about Mother Yashoda and the path. We briefly touched on the topic of Raghunuga Bhakti, Ragatmika Bhakti, and a few other things, and the Rag Marg. And I mentioned the printing press, and I saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's printing press just earlier this year with great endeavor, because it was locked up in a museum. Shri Shri Radha Govindaji Ki Jai.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.